to Mary of Magdala, out of whom the Savior had cast seven devils. She went and reported it to Jesus' companions, who were grieving and weeping. But when they heard that Jesus was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. Later on, as two of them were walking along on their way to the country, Jesus appeared to them in a different form. These two went back and told the others, who did not believe them either. Finally, the risen Christ appeared to the 11 themselves while they were at table and scolded them for their disbelief and their stubbornness, since they had put no faith in those who had seen Jesus after the resurrection. May God help us in our understanding of this, our Holy Scripture. A large town about the size of Okotoks sat on the west coast of the Sea of Galilee. In fact, it would have been a city size in that day. It was a fishing town and a bustling center of commerce in the Palestinian area where Jesus lived and ministered. The town was called Magdala, and Jesus probably visited it often. It was perhaps where he had centered his ministry because it was a much larger place than Nazareth. On at least one of these trips, though, Jesus met a woman named Mary. Now, that wouldn't have been unusual for Jesus, because in that day, about one in four women were named Mary. He met a lot of Marys, taken from the name Miriam in Hebrew, who was the sister of Moses. Also, his mother was Mary. But this particular Mary that he met is unusual. The stories in the gospel describe her as being possessed by evil spirits or devils or demons. Seven demons, to be precise, in Mary's case, which is a full number, actually. Now, we really don't know today what is meant by possession or demon possession. What we do know is that people were suffering from some sort of affliction. Maurice Casey, the author of Jesus of Nazareth, surmises that Mary must have suffered from some severe emotional or psychological trauma. She was battered and bruised, injured and troubled. Mary had probably lost all of her control over her own life and her dignity, along with everything else she had known in her life before Jesus met her. And even though the scriptures describe her as a wealthy woman, her money could not spare her from suffering, as it cannot. Those who were considered possessed may have been cast out of their community or on the fringe of society, like the so-called Gerasene demoniac, or they may have suffered from some physical affliction, like the young boy in the Gospels who was thrown in the fire by some affliction. Whatever was going on, these folks' lives were drastically hampered, and they did not live well in society, most likely. The Bible does not ever describe them as cursed by God, but more that they seem to have developed a condition, perhaps mental, emotional, or physical, that had altered their lives in some way and was causing them severe distress. When Jesus met Mary, her name, or how she was identified when Jesus met her, was probably something like possessed Mary, or mad Mary, or some other such thing that people used to describe how they had come to know her when Jesus found her in Magdala. This was a way of separating her from others. When society applies a name to someone, either positive or in some derogatory way, somehow they become identified with that name. Mark and Luke recorded the healing of demons from Mary's life in their gospel accounts. And for a picture of what it would have been like for Mary to suffer through this in the first century, imagine us today be considered demon-possessed if we suffer from severe depression or a mental illness or a debilitating physical condition, and people avoid you or even afraid of you because you're different. When you give someone a label that is not their name, you take away something of who they are. What words do humans most like hearing? What words do... I love you. Yeah. I love you is second probably only to hearing our own names. Courage. We like courage, don't we, Pat? But the thing we like most hearing is our names. We love someone calling us by our names, knowing us by our names. We love to hear our names spoken by somebody we love. Nicknames or given names or names of endearment, we like to hear them in most cases, but not when someone else has applied a name that demeans or diminishes or destroys. We like to know that people know us by our names. It somehow validates that we're here, that people actually know us and treasure us and value us. We have all carried our names with us almost since birth. Some were named before they were born. Their parents knew who they were. People have spoken our names to us since even before we understood they were our names. We have come to identify ourselves with our names. And sometimes people choose to change their names when they take on another identity, a new identity, to better reflect who they see themselves as. Some people change their names at marriage or when they make other significant life changes. We may shorten our names sometimes to be more reflective of who we think we are, or choose to use our given names or middle names, or change how they're spelled to fit our identities, because our names mean something. They mean something to us and they mean something to others. I grew up being called Julie or Jewel. When my brother speaks to me today, he says, Jewel, hey Jewel. Julie, because my grandmother was Julia, and they didn't want to mix this up, but when I came to Alberta, that wasn't going to be a problem, so I reverted to Julia, which I'd never been called growing up. Names matter because they identify us. Imagine not having names. We'd go around describing people all the time to others. Yeah, she's that, you know, sort of 5-foot, gray-haired woman with glasses. How is that helpful? how many of that does that apply? Quite a few, right? A name immediately conjures up not only a picture of somebody to us, but something of what we know about the person. We have an emotional, visceral reaction to each name that is spoken to us. When we call somebody by their names, we are saying we know who they are even just a little bit. They are more than just a nameless face who means nothing to us. Names matter. They allow us to be seen and hopefully heard. Every human being born on this earth is somebody. And they all have names. And since we believe that all are created by God and valued by God, every human matters and must be treasured and valued by us. There is no human or any living creature, for that matter, who is less than us. We've named everything. Nothing or no one that lives is disposable or can be rejected by us. Because they have a name, they matter. It was important. And when we begin to start thinking this way, we will have a problem destroying and getting rid of or disparaging any other person with a name. No one gets to decide who gets to stay and who must disappear because we don't like them or we don't understand them or they make us uncomfortable. No person or people group on this earth is disposable. They have names and families. Someone cares about them just as we are cared for and we care about our loved ones. Mary, by the time Jesus came into her life, had been labeled such that she was seen. She had a name, but probably not favorably and probably not heard. But Jesus saw her. Jesus saw Mary. He was not afraid of her. He didn't see her as possessed or disposable or invaluable. In healing Mary, in loving her, Jesus restored her to community, to hope, and to life. That doesn't necessarily mean that her condition was cured. It meant that she had been freed somehow to live fully again, to love and be loved in the company of others. Perhaps if we learned the names of those who are nameless to us, we will also find that they can teach us something, or even become a friend, or in Jesus' case, a disciple. One can only speculate what it was like at the moment Jesus looked upon Mary in her state of desperation, degradation. Only he could have seen who she really was, regardless of what she was experiencing. Not only did he truly see her, but he healed her. And though not many details are recorded about this event, her name is among the few mentioned in the recordings of Jesus' healings. Her name is actually mentioned 12 times in the Gospels, more than most of the disciples. The friendship forged from the freedom Jesus offered her compelled her not only to follow him, but to support his ministry through her own resources. Mary Magdalene's presence in Scripture is more than just a passing detail that we read about. It speaks of a profound personal relationship with Jesus. Mary was free to live into the fullness of who she really was through the love of Jesus. Such a radical love seems to have ignited in her an unshakable loyalty and deep gratitude. She chose from then on to follow Jesus and support his ministry in all ways. She stood watching him as she died on the cross. She prepared his body for burial. And then early on the morning after the Sabbath, she went to sit at the tomb with him to experience her grief. Of course, he wasn't there. In a few of the Gospels, it says that Mary met a man in the garden outside the tomb, and that she didn't recognize Jesus until he spoke her name. Mary saw Jesus, but she did not recognize him until he spoke her name. In the speaking of her name, she was known and she knew him, because he was the one who had restored her name, her real name. Jesus knows our names, knows us unlike anyone else on earth. It is Jesus who can restore and heal us so that we can freely live into our lives. This doesn't mean that we'll be cured. Healing and curing are not the same things. We may, as every human does, still carry some suffering and trials, yet in them we can find acceptance and peace and a full life, not despite our sufferings, but sometimes because of them. Not to say that we don't do our best to be healthy and well. Some suffering will be expected in life. We won't ask for it or endure it if we can find a way to get rid of it. Yet it is important also to know that Jesus loves us and suffers with us, and Jesus wants to love us into the fullness of what our lives can be. Everyone who has a name deserves the fullest life they can live. And as followers of Jesus, this is our ministry. Not only do we call all people by their names, but we are called to love them into wholeness, because everyone deserves this, just as everyone deserves to be known and heard for who they are. I want to just add a little addendum to this story. Mary was the first person in the Gospels to tell the complete gospel story. And when the angels told her to go in Mark and tell the story to the disciples, she became the first to tell people the story of the risen Christ. But she was not heard. The disciples did not believe her and rejected the truth. They chose, instead of listening to Mary, trusting her, They chose instead to continue to suffer. If we do not recognize, name, and value all people and listen to them, the world will continue to suffer. We need to hear what everyone has to say, for we have to learn to live together in this really messy world. Why would Christians, early Christians, place women at the center of the gospel account of the most important event in our Christian history, in a society where women will not be seen as equal in regard to men? Why somehow did the women become the bearers of the story, of the truth, and people not listen? In a strange quirk of history, somehow the writers conveyed the message that we will continue to suffer unless we are willing to listen to all voices. Jesus, in fact, when he met up with the disciples later, scolded them for not listening to the truth. All voices have to be heard and valued in our world. We will not become healthy societies until we treasure and know each other's names and hear each other's voices and what they have to say. Mary, when Jesus met her, was not valued or treasured or heard. Regardless of wealth or social standing, Mary had experienced the depths of suffering. And at the end, she was the faithful follower who proclaimed the truth. She now had a name that meant something to her and ultimately to the entire world. Everybody has a name. We all deserve to be here, to be loved and heard. Jesus knows our names. Jesus loves us. And Jesus can bring healing and hope into our lives if we let him. Let's take a moment for reflection.